Fighters, today I had the pleasure of interviewing my friend Courtney Murray. She is the founder, CEO of Coastal Capital, capital with a K. And if you are a contractor who needs to find some money to grow your business, you need capital, and you don't want to deal with the traditional banks and all that garbage, this is a great alternative lending option. We talk about her journey, how she got into this. She was selling a heavy equipment. She then went on to run a clothing store. And then now, and then several years ago, since I think around 2007, she has been helping companies like yours grow and scale. So anyway, check out this conversation with Courtney. Hit the link in the show notes to get in touch with her and her team if this is something that you need to help grow your business. Without further ado, here is our interview with Courtney. Courtney, what's going on? Welcome to the fight.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know. We met in an elevator with our spouses back in October of 2023. Weren't you guys like coming from the pool or something? You were like down at the pool? Yeah.
You absolutely were. That was a really fun trip. It was great to meet everyone. Wow. And I got to meet the puppy.
That's right. Fighter was maybe 20 pounds then. And now he's 6 months old and he's over 70 pounds. He's going to be close to 100, I think. But anyway, he's getting big. It's pretty cool. So, well, listen, we've been talking about making this happen for a while. And before we jump in, give us a 30,000 foot view of Coastal Capital, and you know, maybe how you ended up with the company and all that, so people have a little context to operate from.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll start off because of the synergy and the space that we're in. I sold heavy equipment. I sold Gradall, JLG. I sold excavators, skid steers, all sorts of things when I came out of college. And it was a very offset position, but I got into the heavy machinery and really working with contractors and things, businesses that we wanted to assist, you know, with obviously selling equipment. When I had my own business, I had a clothing store. This was after I was selling heavy equipment, and I realized that I undercapitalized myself. And so I learned from two different aspects of the world, the sales side and then being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And both of them mixed in, I realized that there was a way to scale my business that I had never learned. And so I started in equipment financing. And I started financing heavy equipment. And I started realizing that they could offset personal credit with business credit. Mm-hmm. Something I should have known before I went into my entrepreneurship and undercapitalized myself. So my journey's been different and very, you know, informative. And it put me in the position where I became really, really passionate about helping entrepreneurships in every aspect try to build and establish and scale properly. But it is unique because I do know a lot about the construction side. So Coastal Capital started in 2011. Okay. And we have been servicing majority of our portfolio is heavy equipment, construction. Our portfolio consists of, you know, single owner operator contractors, all the way to big, heavy yellow iron construction equipment up to, you know, $30 million. So we start at five and go up there. So we're a little bit wide range.
What was your degree in?
Advertising and marketing. So
how did you get a heavy equipment job? What happened there?
It's funny. I left college and I wanted out of Michigan. And so the second I graduated, I was offered a position selling cars in Atlanta. Hmm. And I moved as fast as possible to the warmth. I thought it would be warm in Georgia. And I ended up linking up with one of the upper echelons of JLG. Mm-hmm. And he offered me a position in selling heavy equipment. And it was Southern California. And of course, at the time of my 20s, I said, who doesn't want to go to Southern California?
Yeah, that's right.
I would sell whatever it takes. So I took off and went to Southern California and sold for a used equipment dealer out there and learned a little bit about the, you know, the equipment and that space. And so my journey's been fun. Now I'm in Florida.
I love it. Yeah, that's. I was just curious how you went from advertising to heavy equipment sales, and then, but then you go and get into the clothing industry. So you're a woman of many interests.
I think the whole general gist of it is that you always want to find something to pay for the clothing.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning stages. And then, but yeah, the entrepreneurship always was a thing. I absolutely wanted to be the queen of my castle, but yeah, an educator at heart. And so that it really has taken me to the space. And I'm glad that I've had the journey I've had, because it's educated me throughout the process. The failure, definitely, that was one of the biggest things that educated me, is undercapitalizing my business. So you learn.
So earlier you mentioned you've learned to scale businesses in ways you hadn't been taught before. What did you mean by that? Let's dig into that a bit.
So as an entrepreneur, mostly a young one, and coming into business, it's always nice to see, whether it's new equipment or inventory or whatever it may be, it's always nice to look at that big shiny piece of equipment, mm-hmm, or that new branding of whatever you could purchase. You always want to think keeping up with the Joneses. So that's how I worked. I always wanted to make sure that I had the shiniest asset or shiniest thing to keep up with somebody next door to me. And what I realized is that capital expenditure is what crushed me. Mm-hmm. I always thought that that would bring me the most generated revenue. But what I didn't know at the time was creating ROI, and assets that could create and generate revenue. So as a 20-year-old, I should never have bought a BMW, right? I should have been driving something used and old. And I learned a lesson the hard way. And so when I work with business owners, and when my companies learn to work with business owners, this is through the education process. I always say it's just like the food truck company that starts in a tent.
Yeah.
If they start by marketing their food, mm-hmm, in this tent to the right type of avatar, so you're in your right space, then you can scale accordingly. And mm-hmm, I always love to listen to all sorts of different motivational speakers, but Alex Hormozi said it the best. You could have the best hot dog cart in the world, but if you're not in front of a hungry crowd,
right,
you're never going to sell that hot dog. So it doesn't matter if you have a $5 hot dog or a 50-cent hot dog. If you're in front of a concert at the end of the night and you have a 50-cent hot dog, you're going to sell those hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So scaling the business, starting from nothing, I've seen people start with a $1,200 cash outlay and grow into multi-million dollar businesses because they scaled with a brand and scaled accordingly. And so I think that that's the most important thing to talk about when we're talking about money.
So you just said a couple words there that make me tingle inside. You said scale with your brand. Talk about that, because I talk a lot on this show and to this community about you have to build your brand. You have to build your brand, right? There's safety in a brand. You have expert status. Trust levels are higher. All this. What's your take on building brand and scaling businesses?
I will tell you personal journey currently. I have built a brand. I have things behind me that you can see. Mm-hmm. And for all of the years, I actually started in 2007 and then 2008 happened, started again in 2011. And I decided it was time, we have to build a brand, because even when we have economic times that change, like COVID, mm-hmm, people trust in a brand. They trust in the face of the company. They trust in a person. So we're living in a world of, I don't know which social platform to get on.
Yeah.
I have no idea where to put my social media marketing. We have AI taking over. We have no human touch, which we believe in my company, we want to bring the human factor into lending, because you have all these different avenues online that you can apply for financing even. And so when you build a brand, you build a trust, mm-hmm, and you build a name for yourself. And you can build a brand, even if you're a small company and you're only servicing your hometown, you can still help people throughout the country. And you can have groups throughout the country. When you do that, your brand becomes acknowledged. And so recently we ran up on our fourth quarter, which was 2023. Last quarter usually is our best time of year. Everybody needs their tax deduction. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for equipment, Section 179, things like that. And we probably had our lowest recorded month in history since we've opened in fourth quarter in December. And I thought, how do I pivot?
Yeah.
So we pivoted with our brand and we have created a new plan. And this is my own personal journey, but I thought the one thing I can back up from everything I've done through all of these years is creating this brand. And another thing that we do with our clients is when they do create a brand, it's easier to do a background, take a look at who you're looking at helping scale. So if somebody's looking to scale and they don't have the financial backing or maybe their credit isn't strong enough, we can look at what they're doing and how they're branding themselves and we know who's behind it.
Yeah.
It gives you that human touch as well as sweat equity in your business.
Yeah, it's I'm thinking back a million years ago now, the first time I ever went to get a line of credit with our bank, my old partner and I. And the reason we got the line of credit, and this was, I think this was a little right before the recession in 08, right? 09, like right around that period. I forget the exact year. And I think we only got 50 grand or whatever it was. And for our painting company, there were two factors that they told us, because I'll just say it the way my buddy who was like the sales guy for the bank, you know, that we met at all the networking events and he got us in the door, right? He's, Tom, nobody wants to be the one that pops your cherry lending you money. Like that's exactly what he said. And he's like, once you get it, then everyone's going to want to lend you money, right? And so what enabled us to get our first line of credit were two things. Number one was we had strong financial records. Like our books were in order, which was very uncommon for a contractor, right? And the second factor was our brand was so visible and we were everywhere. Like just we were fanatical about building our brand. And the president of the bank said, when we met with them and their loan guys and all this stuff, those were the two biggest factors that they felt good about taking a chance on us. And fast forward a few years, I ended up being on the board of that bank and this and that. So it was just it was just funny when you're sharing that, because there is that safety in the brand. So
people take risk on people. Mm-hmm. And so we trust into people. And I think that that's where we really lose in our decade that we're in, is that there's so much out there that can be utilized through computerized systems and things like that take the human factor out. But when it really comes down to it, it's about taking that trust in who you're working with. So everybody has a story. And if you can get that story and piece it together, you can feel more comfortable with it. And I think that that's what a brand secures you. And so, and branding gets visibility and then more branding comes out. And it's really through, just like you and I, we're here on this podcast together because we met and we had some synergy. Right. And I absolutely love it. But that's because we're using our voices. And I think that's really where the branding happens. And it's so important to a business.
Picture this. You're driving around all day. You're writing estimates all day. But for some reason, you're not making the register ring, right? You're going and spending hours upon hours looking at projects, doing the same old tap dance, the same song and dance, but your bank account isn't growing, you're burning gas in the truck, and you have nothing to show for it. I'm here to tell you, there's a better way. It doesn't have to be like this. Check it out. What I'm gonna share with you in the link down below is the fastest way to get out of the estimate writing business to running a profitable contracting business. And that's learning how to sell, learning how to pre-qualify your clients to make sure that they are a good fit for you. Stop running around doing the same old song and dance for peanuts and start being profitable. Learn how to sell. You owe it to yourself. I'll see you inside.
So we see these guys, I say guys, like just men, women, contractors, right? These guys, use guys, right? They'll post in our community all the time. They'll send questions in for our Q&A shows, like, I need to borrow money to scale my business. And like I told you before we hit record today, I am super hesitant to go, hey, go borrow money, because 90% of the contractors that hear my voice on this show and all the things that we do, they're not even job costing. They don't even have a freaking bookkeeper. There's a lot of basic things they don't have in place. And so, and I've just seen so many times guys go out and borrow money when that wasn't the fix. The fix was charge enough for your work, set a budget, market your, all those basic things. So with that as our context, who is a fit for some, like, how does somebody know that all the contractors you worked with for the past, what, 12 years or whatever it's been, 13 years? Yeah. Who are the ones that are the best fit to start having this conversation about, you know, borrowing money?
Well, let's start with, I don't ever want to advise anyone, and nor does anyone that I surround myself with or teach want anyone to take from Peter to pay Paul. That's absolutely something that we don't teach in finance. There's people who are in, you know, banking and whatnot that they want the deal. We're not in that type of business. We're in the education business. And so with my company, we really, really want to talk with the client and see what their 3-year goal is, 1-year goal. Maybe they don't even, maybe they haven't established that. So we start establishing what they want. Maybe, like you said, you had a painter, you were a painter, you had a painting company. Okay, how many jobs do you want to secure this year? What will it take to secure the job? You need a truck, or are you going to rent a truck? Do you have the supplies? What is the necessity versus the accessory?
Right.
We always want to separate that. We also want to see if somebody has large contracts and they're about to lose a bid, and maybe they're getting ready to scale to the next level, and they don't know that they can borrow money against that job. We want to make sure that's secure. Mm-hmm. But we can work with people who, I mean, our obvious niche would be anyone who is doing over $200,000 a year and up. But $200,000 a year, it's not going to navigate you to a big, huge piece of you know, the pie. We're going to scale it properly. So we need to see what the necessity versus the accessory is. And we have, what's great about alternative financing, not bank financing, is we have sources that can go all the way from SBA loans, lines of credit, short-term bridge notes, all the way to financing for equipment out 5 years without an upfront payment. Yeah. Maybe they have skip or seasonal payments. Maybe you're a roofer and in the snow, and you're seasonal job. So we want to make sure that it mitigates the risk of the client. But really, it's about learning what business credit can do, because it can really help you scale your business without commingling your personal credit. And I think that's where small companies don't take the risk. And even if you're doing something for $10,000. Over a certain amount of time that you can afford the payment, that business credit's what's going to separate your business from your personal. And that's how you can scale without crushing yourself personally. That's how you can still refinance your house without seeing a trade line on there. And those are the things we teach. So it's not someone who's a perfect qualified customer. It's what they want out of their business and where they're going to scale in the next, you know, 1 to 3 years. And then we place them in something or not. Or let them know that they're not a fit, but at least they know how they can get to the next growth pattern of the business.
You know, I was thinking about, we were mainly a residential painting company, like I think I shared with you, and most of our contract, we have some commercial guys that listen to the show and in our community and our coaching programs and stuff, probably 20% of them. What'll happen is a lot of these guys will have an opportunity to secure some work on a project that might be a year-long development project, right? Or or whatever. Or they'll get a commercial contract. And in the commercial world, it's very obviously, as you know, it's very different than the residential. You know, Mrs. Jones hires you to do a project in her house. You get your deposit, you do the job, she cuts you a check, and you're paid. And a lot of times, you know, with GCs and builders and this and that and commercial stuff, they're 30 days, 45 days. They have certain draw schedules and whatever it is that could be tough. And, you know, I'm thinking of this guy who he had this opportunity. He had to pass on it. It was like a $300,000 project, and he was a smaller business. And this was one of those next steps for him to kind of grow his business, but he didn't have the cash flow to fund the project, you know, until you know, for him to get paid, right? In 30-day increments or whatever it was. So this sounds like this is a solution for the guy who's running into those things.
Absolutely. And there's also, I mean, we'll have small jobs that, let's say they're a contractor and they're doing a painting job, but then they just got a flooring job, mm-hmm. and they need that piece of equipment to handle the flooring.
Yeah.
And they don't have that because they're used to just having the painting equipment. There are notes and bridges that we can do commercially, although they're not doing commercial properties. We can secure them on their commercial line as long as they're established LLC. So a lot of these guys will be sole proprietorships. Right. We can still do things under a sole proprietorship, but it's just the education and knowing what your next step is. I think a lot of people, they don't go and apply with the bank because they know it's going to take financials and all of these assets to show the bank to secure the funding. And the difference between alternative lending and that is that we can do application-only programs up to $250,000. So if you have a job and you can scale, I think one of the biggest misinterpretations of financing and entrepreneurship is that people give up because they don't have the knowledge of the in-between. How, I have this job I can have, but my financials don't permit.
Yeah.
Where do I fit? And so if they are gaining the knowledge to find out how to make it to that next level, not all the times will they have to say no to that job or that offer, because the door opens like this, you know, and if you don't take it sometimes, there's not that next level. And so if you're coaching and working with these guys to help them move forward, it's really a knowledge base out there to see if it fits.
So you've used the term alternative lending a few times.
Yeah.
See, you live in your world, I live in mine. I don't use your language every day, right? So for those listening, what does that mean?
It means non-bank financing.
Okay.
So
that's what I figured. I didn't want to make the assumption.
So we're commercial lending only. Alternative lending, I love to say alternative lending because it is an alternative. It's not CD credit lending. It's still, we handle huge, huge company projects, and we handle small company projects, and we have rates lower than a bank finance a lot of times, and some a little bit higher. So we're alternative in those space that we don't take collateralization except for the asset or the risk of the file. And we have a lot more leniency than one credit box. And so somebody might come in with a 500 credit score and they might need to borrow $300,000. But their assets, you know, we're not going to take a home to secure that. We're going to actually look at the revenue of the company, if they have assets to pledge, if we have to go down that route. Mm. There's things that we can do to structure a file that a bank would not look at. And so we use alternative finance because it's a separate option than walking into a banker. We have more lines. We're a $1 trillion industry, $2 trillion as of last year. Mm. And we have been around, you know, to finance the railroads and leasing. And if people aren't wanting to purchase the whole piece of equipment, we can do leasing. So it's an alternative world out there. And it's just something that's not educated.
You're right. Because I think, you know, when most people think about borrowing money for their business, they think bank, number one, and then they think those shady, you know, lending places on the corners in the hood, secondly, you know. And family.
I mean, people have family, which can be a hard bridge to burn.
Yeah. All right. You have also talked a few times here. We didn't dig into it. You talked a few times about business credit. That's something that is never talked about. When you think credit scores and stuff, in fact, I know a lot of people don't even know that you can have a business credit score. Like what's
so
that?
Security number and you have an EIN, they're the same digit, the same amount of digits, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to want to start building business credit, the easiest way to start is put your phone, like your Verizon number, under your EIN. Put your electricity bill under your EIN. If you're writing off a home office, write off your utilities and things that you're writing off in your home office under your EIN. Start building and establishing business credit. You look at the real estate world and you think about all the LLCs that are opened to hide the different properties and own the different management companies. they purchase homes under LLCs. I mean, they come to our, you know, people come out from different countries into our countries and they form these established LLCs and S corporations. And I think people are, it's a lack of understanding because mm-hmm. when I started my business is a clothing store, it was called Chaos. It's so perfect for how it was.
That's a great name.
Yes, it was. I call my story Chaos to Capital. So it is kind of a fun story, but.
Was it Chaos with a K or a C?
It was a K.
Okay. I knew it was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I had to do that. Yeah. My mom put me up there. But, you know, I started as a sole proprietorship. And so when I folded in California because of lack of, you know, capital, mm-hmm. I ruined my personal credit.
Yeah.
And that journey alone was mm-hmm. awful. And so to get reestablished, thank God I was very young and I was willing to be the person to write the letters and do all the stuff. And I learned through my own education, but that's a hard, I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And so to understand that I could have protected myself with an LLC, you can be a single member LLC, grab mm-hmm. an EIN number, the cost outlay for what, you know, the differences between how you pay yourself, it's really a much more aggressive way to protect yourself. And then if you want to scale that business credit, you can start by, let's say you need supplies and you don't want to finance anything.
Yeah.
You don't need any equipment. You can get supplies. You can get a small credit card for the supplies yeah. and run that, you know, through the business. And so there are ways to scale on that level where you don't have to pass up a job or an opportunity when it comes open. But if your personal credit is, whether it's damaged or extended, or if you own a home and you want to refinance mm-hmm. your home and think it's going to affect you purchasing a piece of equipment for the business, a lot of people do. They'll say, I'm buying a house right now, and so I can't finance for this job. And I say, we're not even doing a hard pull on your credit.
Yeah.
So we do not need to affect your personal credit score. And that's where I feel like I really would love to educate the people watching this mm-hmm. because it's a really small way to enter into a bigger scaling position with your job.
So I can pull up an app on my phone and look at my personal credit.
Yes.
Can you do that with your business?
You can.
Where do you go?
You absolutely can.
If somebody's so listening to this, they're like, I don't know, do I have business credit? Where would I look? Like, where do you even go?
So there's quite a few places out there that you can look. My favorite and the most used is Experian Business Credit. Mm-hmm. You can log in, it's free to log in and take a look to see if you have a scoring model. There's Paydex score that are important. The ones that I personally, and this is my own opinion, you don't have to, you know, trust in that, but the Dun & Bradstreet, I'm not a huge fan of that, or LexisNexis. I think that they have incorrect information. Unless you join their journey on a monthly fee, you're not going to have the reporting that's accurate. So Business Experian is really the way to go if you want to see if you have business credit. And it's fun to watch it grow. So I started a second business when I started this one. I teach private yoga. And I decided instead of paying for the things that I created in my backyard, which was like a golf green and a hot tub area and things for, you know, golfers to come over and do yoga. I wanted to finance it. And the cost of money was a little bit more, but the write-off really saved me in the end of the year. But I started building that business credit and I was like, wow, I have better business credit in this golf yoga than I've had in my coastal capital business, because in a capital industry, you don't borrow money. And so I had to start establishing myself the way I'm telling everyone to do it here with the EIN and the phone bills and the things like that. So
that's good stuff. So somebody's listening to this and they're like, I think I'm ready to start having these types of conversations. How do they get in touch with you? Where do they go? What do you want them to do?
Coastalcapital.com. Capital is with a K. You're going to have to drop that in the...
Yeah, we'll get that in the show notes. For sure.
Yeah. And it's fun. Actually, my sales team is made up of old John Deere salesperson, a gym manager, mm-hmm. my husband who is in corporate development. I mean, we have a lot of people who have had a lot of different industry experience, but it's free. It's just an advocate, a way to just call and find out where you're scaling and just get the advice on. It's almost like a coaching mm-hmm. training session. We talk to you about where you're going with your business. See where the next level is for you, what the opportunities are ahead of you, and see if we can help in any way, even just to help you get established.
Yeah, listen, like I've shared before, I'm very hesitant to put lenders in front of our community for the reasons I shared earlier. And guys, go to Coastal Capital with a K and book a time if this is something you're interested in. And here's why. Like the biggest reason, Courtney, that you're here today is I know you're a good human being. Like we met, and listen, my wife, the queen, she's like the perfect gauge for people. And you and her clicked like crazy. It was, you know, and pretty much 100% of the time when she's said to me, that person's a snake, they end up being a snake. And when she's, that's a good person, they're a good person. But I've seen you in action. I got to spend a few days with you, heard how you approach your business when you spoke from the stage at that event we were at. And I know you're approaching this in a different way. So you guys, this is a safe place to just go see what's going on if you're in a position where you need some money. You know,
there's no sales here. We're not, you know, that's the one thing we want to just educate. Our biggest thing is, you know, people like people, and we want to help if in any way, shape or form, if we can help entrepreneurs grow their business and scale properly, even just by education, that's what we're here for. And so it is a safe place. Thank you.
Well, and you know, I mean, earlier, I can't remember if we were recording or not at this time, but you're like, hey, sometimes there's times where we'll get into somebody's situation and go, we can't lend you money. It's not best for you. It's not best for your business. You need to do, and that's, we've both been around this world long enough to know there's some people out there, they'll do anything for the deal, no matter who it hurts, right? And I know that's not you guys. And that's why, like I said, I appreciate you sharing a little bit of this with us. And so guys, go to coastalcapital.com, capital with a K. We'll drop it in the show notes. Where are you at on social media? Where do you want them to follow you there? Because you do some good stuff there.
But my link on social media that's most, you know, viewed with a lot of our stuff is Chaos Court, which is my old clothing store, KaosKort. So take a look there, and it has the links to everything, including the Coastal Capital and the lending.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. We'll get it all in the show notes, you guys. And Courtney, appreciate you making time for this here today. And we look forward to helping tens of thousands of contractors stop stealing from their families, build the business that they want, all that good stuff. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.